Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, May 6th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The two-day SAPES Trust and National Endowment for Democracy Conference on Zimbabwe ends with participants urging Harare to up its game in efforts to re-engage the international community and revive the country's ailing economy.
We need to move forward and involve the citizens. Specifically, the government should abandon unilateralism in policy formulation and seek national consensus and ownership of national policies.
Movement for Democratic Change leader Morgan Tsvangirai says divisions currently rocking his party are unfortunate, but adds his formation may emerge stronger from the problems.
It's a regrettable development. At a time when ZANU-PF is imploding, this is the time where we don't need this internal direction.
And campaigning is winding down in South Africa, where voters head to the polls in the country's general elections tomorrow.
The two-day Southern African Political Economy Series, SAPES Trust and National Endowment for Democracy Conference on Zimbabwe, ended in Harare today with participants urging President Robert Mugabe and his administration to up their game in their efforts to re-engage the international community and revive the country's ailing economy. The conference ran under the theme, Zimbabwe Going Forward, Consolidating the Democratization Process and Reinforcing Re-engagement with the global community. Thomas Cheripasi has more details from the capital.
The meeting ended with participants calling on Harare to democratically run the country, respect the rule of law, enact clear policies that encourage and protect investors, among others. The government, participants resolved, should put more effort in the re-engagement process as it seeks to rejoin the community of nations. Zimbabwe, delegates agreed, is an economic and regional giant that is being weighed down by bad governance and unclear policies like the indigenization laws they said should be amended to ease investor worries. Participants who were drawn from the government, private sector, civil society, and the international community also agreed Harare should sincerely deal with corruption that they agreed was eating away the country's social fabric, as some lived in luxury at the expense of the ordinary poor. Economics lecturer at the University of Zimbabwe, Ashok Chakravart, urged the government to give title deeds to newly resettled farmers, saying this would allow them to use the pieces of land as collateral to access loans from banks.
I mean, if there's corruption, let's deal with it. And let's give these people bankable titles so that we can restart the land market, we can restart collateralization of bank loans, etc., etc., and give people incentive to actually produce in agriculture.
Chakravart also urged authorities to consider adopting the South African rand under a monetary union, saying the use of the US dollar was costly to the country. He argued that the South African rand was depreciating against the US currency, yet South Africa remains Harare's major trading partner. But Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, Kupukile Mlambo, ruled out the adoption of the rand and the return of the Zimbabwean dollar, saying investors need time to understand systems in Zimbabwe before they can start investing in the country's economy.
I'm not sure we want at this point to pick a currency, a particular currency. The problem about linking to the rand specifically is that the rand is the most volatile currency in the world. You don't want this kind of stage where you have confidence problems. So I think for me, the agenda should not be, do we link to the South African rand or the dollar or something else? Let's keep the currencies that we have and monitor the situation.
Former Zimbabwe country manager of the World Bank, Mungai Lenayer, told the conference, Harare should spruce up its image first before investors can start seeding their money into the country's economy. Disputed elections and alleged violation of human rights by President Robert Mugabe's government continue to be cited as reasons by the international community for its reluctance to re-engage Harare.
You can't ask me to come and help build your house when you're busy destroying it. You can't ask your neighbor to come and help you farm your garden when your children are all lying under some tree somewhere and saying we're waiting for the neighbors to come and help us cultivate our garden. If you want foreign investors, make it possible for your own citizens to first and foremost be the investors.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions urged the authorities to formulate a law that makes it mandatory for the government to regularly meet with labor and business under the tripartite negotiating forum as unions seek the restoration of the social contract between the state and its partners. ZCT Youth Vice President Gift Peter Mutasa said the enactment of the law would ensure that labor and business concerns are catered for when authorities craft policies.
Specifically, the government should abandon unilateralism in policy formulation and seek national consensus and ownership of national policies. This calls for total political commitment from all stakeholders, but most importantly from the government. The situation of the TNF is very crucial and has to be regarded as a national priority.
Discussions between government, business and labor under the tripartite negotiating forum stalled in 2010 following the establishment of the National Incomes and Pricing Commission. Responding, Deputy Labor Minister Tongai Mzenda said the government was already in the process of crafting the law that he said should be passed by parliament before year end.
The TNF principles are being presented to cabinet, and I'm sure it will sell through parliament. Hopefully within this year, it will be a bill. It is through the TNF that the social partners in the past were able to work on specific areas that needed redress in what one could describe as an attempt of agreeing on a social contract.
But chairman of the Association of SADC Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Oso Obina, said legislating the discussions would give the government an unfair advantage over its partners.
The first thing is that government of Zimbabwe must not and should not continue undermining the role of tripartite partners. Business has a role in this economy. Labor has a role in this economy. Government must just create an enabling environment to ensure that tripartite partners have their space. There is need to respect the sanctity of productivity and competitiveness in this economy.
Recommendations from the two-day conference will be forwarded to the government for implementation, with follow-ups being made to ensure Zimbabwe's economy is revived, with the frosty relations between the West and Harare being thawed. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Movement for Democratic Change leader Morgan Tsvangirai says he regrets divisions that have seen his party effectively splitting into two, with expelled Secretary General Tendai Biti leading the so-called renewal team seeking to oust the former trade unionist from the helm of the party. Speaking exclusively to Studio 7 following suspensions and counter-suspensions and expulsions, Mr. Tsvangirai hinted the MDC may water down the powers of the Secretary-General at its Congress in October. Clashes between the party leader and his Secretary-Generals have seen the party fracturing first in 2005 when then-Secretary-General Welshman Ncube left to form a rival faction. And a recent clash with the Secretary General Tendai Biti has resulted in fresh fissures affecting the labor-backed movement. Backed by some senior party officials, Biti has said he will not work with Tsvangirai, accusing him of being, quote, corrupt and a dictator. Mr. Tsvangirai says events unfolding in the party are unfortunate.
It's a sad spectacle, I must say. The problems in the party are a symptom of a long project to hijack the movement undemocratically. And of course, people knowing what they are fighting for, people will reject that. And I've said that we will not push anyone out of the tent, but if people want to voluntarily leave, they are free to do so, sadly. And that's why I say that the turbulence that is temporary, and it's a turbulence that will pass, and the party will emerge. In fact, if I may explain that this move by so-called rebels, these rebels, may have unintended consequences of rejuvenating the party, of bringing in new dynamism, because people feel they have a collective threat to their movement.
And looking at the broader issues at play here, Mr. Tsvangirai, within the MDC, what is really causing these ideological differences between you and your secretary generals? First, it was Professor Woshmen Ncube, and now it's Tendai Biti.
Isn't it instructive that this is an institutional weakness of the party? That you have, and I've come to assess, that's why we need to really look at this. Isn't it instructive that there is always a clash between the secretary general and the president? So there's something that tells you that the continued two power centers in the party is a weakness that we need to address. Some people, when they are elected at the same time at a congress with the president, they want to regard the president as one of them, as an equal. And the constitution is very clear that the president takes charge of everything. And when you have people who have their own adventurist ideas and their own perspective, it becomes an attempt at hijacking and an attempt at hostile takeover undemocratically. The ideological difference is that this party bears its soul from the working people, the poor, the working people. And unfortunately, our intellectuals, the likes of Professor Ncube and Tendai Biti, have thought that they will allow people to fight for the revolution and they will just wait to take over the pieces. I think it's very unfortunate. And again, because it has reinforced the difference between an elite trying to capture the leadership undemocratically and the people resisting that we want to do it democratically.
Are you possibly contemplating abolishing the post of the Secretary General because of these clashes?
No, I'm not going at anything. I'm just saying that the party must look at a repeat of the same. It's the same script, but now with different actors. There is something fundamentally that needs to be looked at, not only with regards to the positions, but regards to the institutional, organizational weaknesses that need to be addressed.
How best can this be addressed?
Well, I haven't thought deeply about it. I think that the people will be allowed to debate it. We don't want a constitution which is drawn up by just legal minds. We want the people to make the principles, to define the principles, and then it is the principles that will be debated at the Congress. I am sure people have their own observations, and we must allow the people to define what they want their party, to strengthen their party, and it will be done.
How do you feel seeing the party splitting under your leadership?
Well, this is not a split. This is our individuals who have decided to form their own political formation, but don't want to be identified outside the MDC. It's regrettable, of course. Any leader would like to keep his troops together. But if one or two of the troops decide to desert, what can you do? It's a regrettable development. At a time when ZANU-PF is imploding, this is the time where we don't need this internal diversion.
Your former lieutenants are also accusing you of stifling dissent, ignoring party structures, corruption, rigging internal elections, and creating your own cult of personality. What is your response to all this?
Well, I'm sure that anyone will tell you that my life has always been defined by magnanimity and compromise. I've always built trust amongst my lieutenants. And wholeheartedly, without any reservation, I've trusted Tendai Biti and Mango Matogoi and cut out the negotiating process and other responsibilities because I believe in the team. Now, if people who are assigned to do something break that trust, surely it's a violation of any constructive relationship.
That was Opposition Movement for Democratic Change leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with VOA Studio 7 for Zimbabwe reporter Blessing Zulu. Tune in tomorrow when Mr. Tsvangirai responds to the succession question that has created rifts in the MDC.
Look, I'm not immortal. I already have thought about what process will have to be involved. I know when I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave because people want to push you out. I'm not going to leave because people want to have a hostile takeover without the democratic considerations of the Congress. I think it will be like abandoning ship. And I'm not going to abandon ship because one person thinks that I should step down. And besides, I'm not going to abandon ship through letters, through statements, and through vile language.
You're listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Now we go to regional and international news, Chris.
United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is in South Sudan to push for an end to violence that has displaced more than 1.2 million people. The UN chief flew into the capital, Juba, on Tuesday and met with President Salva Kiir, who, according to the UN mission, reiterated his commitment to meeting with rebel leader Riek Machar.
The United States is giving Nigeria counter-terrorism assistance to help in the search for hundreds of girls kidnapped last month by the Islamist militant group Boko Haram. White House spokesman Jay Carney says the kidnappings are a terrible tragedy and that U.S. national security officials are closely monitoring the situation. Gunmen abducted the girls from a school in the town of Chibok in Borno State on April 14. Nigerian authorities say some escaped, but 276 are still missing.
And Russia's foreign minister has cast a doubt on the legitimacy of Ukraine's presidential election set to take place on May 25th. Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov spoke in Vienna today after a Council of Europe meeting focusing on the Ukraine crisis. He said it would be quite unusual to hold elections while the Ukrainian army is being used against part of the population. Lavrov's comments comes a day after a battle between Ukrainian security forces and pro-Russian separatists in the eastern Ukrainian city of Slovansk.
Campaigning is winding down in South Africa, where voters head to the polls in the country's general election tomorrow to choose 400 National Assembly members and 90 Council of Provinces members. Analysts believe the ruling African National Congress, or the ANC, will retain an overwhelming majority, with President Jacob Zuma's mandate being renewed. They also expect the Democratic Alliance, South Africa's main opposition party, to increase its share of the vote. The Independent Electoral Commission that is overseeing the elections says 33 political parties registered to contest in the polls, the fifth since the end of apartheid in 1994.
The newly formed Economic Freedom Fighters Party, led by expelled ANC youth leader Julius Malema, is also giving the ANC a run for its money. Stephen Chiadzo of the Zimbabwe Pastors Forum and leader of the Oasis of Life Church in Johannesburg says there has been relative peace in the build-up to the elections compared to some African elections, Zimbabwe included. He speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
All systems are in place for, I can't say at this stage, a free and fair, but just to have an election, you know, to make it happen, all systems are in place. You know, we haven't seen much violence that has become the hallmark of most elections in Africa. We haven't seen much of that. We have people that have died, but it's a few, you know, if at all. So the atmosphere generally is good for elections to go ahead. I think so.
What can be learned by Zimbabweans?
I think what we lack in Zimbabweans, for example, in South Africa, they have what we call Chapter 9 institutions, like the public protector, even that IEC by itself, though it's much corrupted now, and also some other institutions, Auditor General, all these guys, South African Human Rights Commission, the South African Editors Forum, all these are institutions that are, and they've helped in maintaining the democracy to keep it intact. And that's what Zimbabwe must learn. In Zimbabwe, if someone goes to the pinnacle, they have authority over everything. No one raises up a finger.
That was Pastor Stephen Chiadzwa of the Zimbabwe Pastors Forum in Johannesburg, South Africa. We also spoke with political commentator Zenzo Nkomo, who is also a member of the Communist Party. He expects the ANC to maintain an overwhelming majority.
All parties really managed to reach out to the electorate throughout the country without really any hindrance. Yes, there were a few incidences of violence, but not as compared to the previous elections. I think these elections is one election that will be marked by a quite reasonably peaceful campaign. I think even if you go back to Sunday when most parties were closing their elections campaign.
From what you observed on the ground, could you tell us your predictions, who you think is going to come up top, second and third?
The ANC really is clear. They are going to come up top, followed by the DA, and most probably by the new party, the EFF.
That was political commentator Zenzo Nkomo. He's also a member of the Communist Party. He spoke with us from Johannesburg.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Both formations of the MDC have paid tribute to former Insiza South lawmaker Siyabonga Malandu Ncube, who died at a Bulawayo hospital yesterday after a short illness. The rival parties described Malandu Ncube as a determined cadre who fought courageously for democracy in Zimbabwe. Malandu Ncube represented Insiza South under the inclusive government as a member of the Welshman Ncube MDC, but lost to a ZANU-PF candidate in the last election. He resigned from the Ncube MDC late last year and joined the MDC till last month. Ncube MDC party spokesman Nhlanhla Dube says that the democratic agenda has lost a valiant fighter in Malandu.
We would like to, as a party, as the MDC, pass our condolences to the whole Malandu family, to the entirety of the Malandu Ncube clan to which Malandu came from. And we'd like to further say, I would like to pass our condolences to the whole Silabusi in Godloyo, a South constituency, which he stood for and represented as a member of parliament in the last parliament of Zimbabwe. And we would like to also pass our condolences to all his friends and to all his colleagues and former colleagues. And as a party, we'd like to say that we pay special attention to times like this. And we say that with a great passion, because we believe that our society needs to get back to its values and reconnect with the reality that a bereavement is a bereavement in our society, that we should not concern ourselves with matters of political party belonging and their differences. We think that focus of everything being political, even in death, is actually a negation of our values and principles as a society.
MDC Ncube spokesman Nhlanhla Dube in Bulawayo. Dube's sentiments were echoed by MDC Bulawayo spokesman Mandla Sibanda.
It was very unfortunate. His passing away was quite unfortunate. We send our regards to his family, but look, it was a big loss to the party. We lost someone who had just come in, someone who had realized that the correct way and path was the big tent. But unfortunately, he then soon passed away without convincing enough people, in as far as we are concerned, to join the big tent. We know, however, that he had done quite a lot to convince a lot of influential people to come to join the party, and they've already done so. But we believe, given his capacity, he would have been probably brought in more people to the party.
MDC Bulawayo spokesman Mandla Sibanda.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk every day at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listener, topical issues affecting the country. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. The number again, 001-202-465-0318.
And the topic today, we are talking about the SAPES Trust and the National Endowment for Democracy Conference on Zimbabwe and its resolutions that came out earlier today, Chris.
Yes, Cindy, and those who want to text us can text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona, and Ndebele? Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318. Again, 1-202-465-0318.
Chris, in sports news, just going to our listeners in Zimbabwe who love the English Premier League, just an update of what happened last night as we go towards the scintillating end to the English Premier League title. Liverpool coach Brendan Rodgers has admitted the Reds' title chances are gone, saying the lust for goals cost Liverpool as they conceded late goals last night to draw 3-3 at Crystal Palace. Rodgers now believes Manchester City will win the Premier League title, but he says his side had made strides this season despite last night's draw. City's 3-2 victory at Everton on Saturday put them in control of the title race, and Liverpool needed 3 points at Crystal Palace to stay in the running for a first English championship since 1990, only for a late collapse to leave City needing just 4 points from their final 2 matches. Liverpool, Chris, were sitting pretty at the top of the table after 11 successive wins, and there was growing belief on the Merseyside that the team were on the brink of the title. So we watch closely. Sunday is going to be a very interesting game. Anything can happen in football, Chris.
Oh yeah, Sandy, the game of football. That's why the ball is round, you know. It goes either way.
It does. So certainly Studio 7 will keep you updated on Monday as to what finally happens in the final matches on Sunday. And yes, we got to our producer. She's looking at us saying, oh, I need time to play this song for Zimbabweans. You go, Alem. Music of Charles Charamba Buruka going out to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. And Chris, before we go, just a brief recap of our top stories.
The two-day SAPES Trust and National Endowment for Democracy Conference on Zimbabwe ends with participants urging Harare to up its game in efforts to re-engage the international community and